if I look back to where I was and where I am now and the people I've met, the network I've created through just the relationships I've built, no, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing about any path that we pick in life is that we have to be really careful about the metrics that we choose to assess success by.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So you may have guessed, I have a little thing for entrepreneurs, and I'm kind of excited about the idea of women doing really badass things in this industry. My guest today is Justina Kozlowska, and Justina is the founder of Nagi. Nagi is a Canadian company that makes these really incredible, nutritionally balanced energy bars and snacks. And I had the opportunity to meet Justina. I think we first connected through Instagram, as all great relationships start. And we got into and started to discuss her company. And what I loved about what Justina is up to is she was just this person who always took the next right step. She was a health and fitness expert and was frustrated that she couldn't find foods that were consistently clean and aligned to how she wanted to work with her clients. And so, like most entrepreneurs, rather than going out looking for it, she decided that she was just going to make it herself. These bars, the Nagi bars, they're made in Canada. They're raw, they're organic, they're non-GMO, they're vegan, they're gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free. And here's the kicker. They're actually delicious. In Polish, Nagi means naked, and this is true to Justina's roots. I want to let her tell you more of the story. I want to let her tell you more about her bars and how they can actually help you. But most importantly, I want you to listen to her story as a beacon of inspiration, as you too are frustrated by things that you see or don't see in the marketplace, and how when you tap into that entrepreneurial spirit, you really could just step outside your box and start to make it for yourself and for the world. It is really, truly a pleasure to introduce you to entrepreneur Justina Kozlowska. Justina Kozlowska, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is an honor. True honor to be here.
I'm super excited to have you. And I'm a little bit jealous because we were chatting before this started and you're in like Northern Quebec staring at beautiful fall leaves right now. It's right around Canadian Thanksgiving. And so thanks for taking the time to hang out with me, who's in downtown Toronto.
Thank you. Glad to be on the call.
Yeah. Okay. So I love that you're living the entrepreneurial dream and that you're really contributing something important to our ecosystem of health. But I want to know a little bit more, like, can you take us through this journey? Because I think there's this conversation that frequently happens where entrepreneurs speak about their product and they're like, oh, you know, I had an idea and then I found a manufacturer and then I just got in a million stores and then I sold out and now I'm independently wealthy. And there's four steps to the idea and their exit. And I just don't think that's real. So I would really love to hear your story, because you're doing what entrepreneurs do. You're solving a problem, and I love your product, and I just want people to understand what it's really like.
So it's not all colors, as a lot of people think that, oh, you have this great product and you're everywhere in all these stores, and I'm sure the life is a beautiful flower. It is great, but it's definitely like a lot of work, and I didn't come here just knowing everything. So the story started back in high school when I used to make my healthy rum balls. So I used to always toy around with healthy recipes, and I found a recipe to make healthy rum balls. So back in high school, I'm like, was selling these rum balls. They're really good. Years down the later, I figured, well, if I can create these healthy rum balls, I just swap out the rum, add some protein and other superfood ingredients, and create snacks for myself. So at the time I was busy between schools, jobs, and just regular day-to-day hustle. So I couldn't find anything that was protein and fiber rich without any of the artificial additives. And also that had a lower sugar profile. So as I was sharing these snacks with my friends at school, one of them mentioned, "Hey, why don't you get into business? These are really good." So the seed was planted then. And since the seed was planted, I just did a lot of research and networking to bring my idea forth to the market. From starting from a house kitchen to commercial kitchen and now having a manufacturer, it's been a journey. And it's still an ongoing journey, and you learn every day something new. And what I might want to say is that initially your idea that you had for this product will change with time, and your goals and dreams will also evolve as you continue this process. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of dedication.
And if you had known that it was going to be this much work, would you have done it?
Ooh. If I look back to where I was and where I am now and the people I've met, the network I've created through just the relationships I've built, no, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about any path that we pick in life is that we have to be really careful about the metrics that we choose to assess success by.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's not always, because everybody thinks of measuring success that it's a monetary value.
Right.
When you're just starting, you have no money. You're pretty much broke. You're barely paying yourself, and you're just trying to make ends meet. So, but there's all these other factors to measure success and measure your happiness. And there are factors that come into your life that show you that you are on the right path, and the people that you meet and are part of the whole success too.
Absolutely, I love that as like the life experience. And I'll often, and many people speak about the entrepreneurial journey as the hero's journey. And on a hero's journey, you're encountering all of these other characters. Like, it's part of what makes that such a powerful experience. It's not just the outcome of the journey that's important. So tell us a little bit about like how you actually grew. So you had this idea, and I know you've rebranded, and you've had some different things that have taken place over the course and journey of your business. How did you go from, I've got this food product, what were your next steps? Because I know there's people listening and they're like, I've got this idea. What do I do?
Well, first of all, I would map it out, like brainstorm what you want, what your demographic, like try to create a brain map where you brainstorm like the demographic group, where you see yourself in a month, in a year, in 5 years and in 10 years. Contact other entrepreneurs to pick their brains, like invite them out for a coffee. Like a lot of entrepreneurs want to help out others. So finding people in the kind of network that you want to be in, like finding the entrepreneurs in the same field and just meeting up them up with over the coffee just to like talk about what they went through. That would be a good idea. But also just reaching out to their organizations, food organizations like the Food Startup that help young entrepreneurs, or not just young entrepreneurs, but food entrepreneurs, period. They help you start this process. So they kind of guide you along of the different steps that you're supposed to do. Also, there's different resources, like the in terms of financial resources, there's the BDI Bank or Small Business Bank Bureau. But when it comes to me personally, a lot of it, I found that just asking a lot of questions from people that already have been through the journey have helped me kind of go from one step to the other. So the first step is just figuring out, what am I going to make? What ingredients do I need? Where am I going to make it? You need a kitchen. So in order to sell anything on the market, you need a commercial kitchen. You need insurance. You need to figure out your costs. What is it going to take to make this thing? And how much can you, what the retail price you can ask for? So those are just like preliminary steps. After, you might want to look at well, I need sales. How do I get sales? So it's pretty much door knocking, going to stores and asking the buyers to present your product and to see if there is any interest.
When you're presenting to those buyers and in those stores, is it literally a matter of calling up the store and saying, can I show you my product? And I'm asking these really simple these questions because I know there's people who are like, no, seriously, like, what is next?
Call and ask, can I speak with the grocery? If it's depending on the category of the product, it could be the grocery or the supplement manager. Or just like, can I speak with a buyer in a given category? And they usually will they'll either give you their name or the phone number, or they'll just transfer you right away. You can also email them first. Like, a lot of them will operate on emails versus calls, and just say like, hey, I have this awesome product. I'm a new Toronto entrepreneur having this wonderful product. I wanted to present it to you. Do you have time? Keep it simple, not long. They don't like lengthy emails or lengthy calls. Just keep it simple and to the point. And hopefully just by that, you'll get a meeting and then you can present your product. Be ready to present pricing as well. And that's as simple as that. But it is really just going out there and exposing yourself to them. You can also go through, so there's another way. You can go through a distributor. So distributors are the ones that distribute the products to different stores. But a lot of the times before you start with a distributor, they'll want to see that you already have some stores under your belt. So they want to see that this product is already somewhat performing in the market. And if you already have like maybe 10 stores or more, they'd be like, okay, she's already selling. There's a bit of validity in this product. So why don't we take it on and try distributing ourselves?
Yeah, I love those like little key insight pieces, right? Because you just like pick them up and you store them away. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you've actually made. Like, take us through your line of stuff and when people would when would you snack on it? Is it a morning snack? Is it an afternoon snack? Can the fasters have it?
So we have two products. We have the whole food based nutrition bars. I call them like a meal on the go. So when you're on the go, you're traveling, you don't have time to eat breakfast or these are great. They're high protein fiber and the macronutrients are balanced so that you are actually satisfied without having any side effects of bloating or just heavy feeling. So anytime you're on the go or before or after a workout, the bars are great. The other product that we have are our macaroon energy balls. So they're like a Timbit without guilt. There's two balls and each ball is packed with 5 grams of protein coming naturally from nuts and seeds and super seeds, like almonds and super seeds. And these are a little sweeter, but not too sweet. And they're great as just like a snack with your tea, coffee. There's two balls. So you can have one maybe before a small workout, before your yoga class and one after. If you eat the whole package, it is pretty filling because you have good fats coming from coconut oil, almonds, and all that protein. So it is pretty filling. So if you eat the whole package, you do get full. I mean, if you have a dinner right after, you might not feel as full just after because they're pretty filling.
Yeah, they're amazing. Like I really, you have a lemon flavored bar, right?
Yes, lemon goji coconut. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, I kind of love it. And I also love the experience of your product because I enjoy the branding, like the whole, and I'm not someone who enjoys protein bars or any of these things. I find them dry. Like I actually don't like them, but these are great.
Yeah, it's a huge compliment coming from you. I was a little bit worried when I was giving you this the product because I knew you were not into bars. So I'm just like, I don't know if this is a good idea, but hey, you know, why not?
Yeah, no, they're awesome. I'm down at Verity right now, which is in downtown Toronto, and they have your bars here, which is actually the first place I ever had them. Angela, who's here, is like, you got to try these. And I did. And they were amazing.
Oh, Angela's awesome.
She's so lovely. Yeah.
She's really, really sweet. I find that we're more of a lifestyle brand, so we can cater to anybody. So it's not just like, but we're not into extreme. So we're not like a keto diet fad or a bodybuilder type or just a specific type. We're kind of just like an overcompensating balanced lifestyle brand.
And so in that, in being a lifestyle brand, where's your vision for where your company goes?
I was always into health and fitness. So I used to be a personal trainer. Used to educate my clients on nutrition and healthy eating habits and mindfulness and exercise. So I've always had that holistic approach to health. So the food part is just an extension of what I already did with my clients back then. So through our company, I just envision educating and promoting healthy lifestyle. And and empowering people to just to learn more and to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, which is something that we're all after that, right? So I'm going to just like steal the thunder out of the anticipation for next week's episode. But I will say that we have a speaking coach who's going to be speaking on next week's episode. And part of her methodology is really like connecting to a brand's story. Right? So it was really fun interview to do. But I remember when we met, like one of the things I was really excited about with respect to your brand was the story of your brand, not just like, oh, I couldn't find something on the market that matched what I was doing, but like just the name of your brand and how that aligns to your branding. And can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right. Yeah. So Nagy, so my the brand name is Nagy. It means naked in Polish. So my background is Polish, and then the ingredients are raw, clean, and simple. So it just ties in with the whole branding and my own story.
Yeah, it is so simple, and I really love that piece. So I have a question for you. There's a place downtown where I will occasionally go and get collagen coffee, and one of the things they do really well are these really amazing peanut butter balls. And for people who are appalled that I eat peanut butter, I do, and I love it. It's a clean source of peanut butter. Is that an ingredient you would ever use?
People have asked me about it. So a lot of what I tried to stay away with was from ingredients that have a lot of allergens. So we try to stay away from peanuts because of that.
Right.
So there is, we do have nuts in our products, but everything is gluten, soy, dairy free. The flavors that are non-nut, we run them first, then clean the equipment, and then run the nut versions afterwards. So it is a bit of a toss-up because right now there's no peanuts in the facility. I'd probably have to find a different facility, a different manufacturer to make a peanut-flavored product.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. I was always like, it's funny because people love peanut butter, and yet I don't find it's often an ingredient in the product. And I was curious whether that for you was a position you took from a health perspective, or whether that was like, this is a logistical issue. And I'm actually just as fascinated with the logistics.
It was a health issue. And now it's more of a logistic issue. So it's a little bit of both, but it started off as a health issue. Yeah. Like initially when I created anything, I was trying to create a lower glycemic, high superfood nutrient dense product. So like pack as much as you can in nutrition that was really easy to digest and allergen friendly.
Yeah, fair enough. I want to understand a little bit more, Justina, your experience as an entrepreneur. And we talked a little bit about how it was harder than you thought it would be, probably mostly because you didn't contemplate what it would be before you were in it. But I'm also interested in your journey as an entrepreneur, as a woman. Because there are men in this industry in the city, there are women in this industry, and I'm just curious whether or not you feel there's a role that gender plays in being an entrepreneur. And I've had my own experiences on that side, but I was just really curious whether or not you had any insight or perspective on that based on your experience as an entrepreneur.
I didn't find the gap between being a female and being a male in this food industry per se, but you must be persistent and persevere with following up and doing your sales. So a lot of the buyers in stores are male. The store owners are male. Now there are some buyers that are female as well, but it's just generally it is more of like a, you know, male driven, I guess, category, depending on the category inside the stores. So as long as you show that you're clear in what you're asking for, and you show your passion and that you have a good product, I don't see there being an issue. Possibly with higher like national level stores, perhaps they would look down on you, but I haven't really experienced it, not in the food industry anyway. You do have to be clear. Like if they see you're washy, wishy-washy, they're not, you know, they're put you on the side. But if you're clear with what you're asking for, you have a good product, and they just see your commitment to this, they'll actually be they'd be like very, very surprised, happily surprised that, you know, there's this woman that's driven and that's doing this. I'm going to give her a shot.
Right. Which I think is true to anything in life. Like if you're not certain and you're not confident in what it is that, that you are delivering, then, it's not going to serve you, and you're definitely not going to be able to engage in the quote unquote big leagues as it pertains to driving your business forward. And it's an area that I find too when I'm working with my coaching clients around their business. I'm like, you have to have absolute clarity around where you want to go with your business and what value you're delivering to the people on the other side of the table. And I don't think that has that piece, I don't think has anything to do with whether you are male or female. But I have been having this conversation lately, and we had this conversation, it'll come up a little bit in our interview next week, that sometimes I think the barrier to entry and access for men as it pertains to the feeling of confidence, I think it's easier for them to get to that place than it is for women.
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah, I think women have a lot of inner chatter, like in our heads. We just think about everything, all the details, and men just kind of think in terms of black and white. Whereas women, we have a lot of gray in between. So a lot of times we're unsure of our decisions, and it's the uncertainty or the fear of failure that prevents us from stepping up to our game sometimes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And so is failure and the thought of failure, did that ever cross your mind, or did you just take the next right step? What was your relationship to this process?
There's been a lot of times where that was a chatter where like, what if I fail this? What if this happens? This is not doing so. Why is it not doing well? Oh my God, the world is ending. All my money is gone. And there's always the risks for any entrepreneur. There's always a, because you're investing your time and money into this project. So there's always a risk of failure. But if you don't try, you won't know. So it's just a matter of quieting the chatter down and telling yourself it's all good. It's all going to work out. The universe has a greater plan for you.
Yeah, and what's supposed to happen always does.
I'm feeling strong about something and it just feels, you know, that good feeling you have in your gut where something's just right and you know you got to do it. And no matter what, you're just going to try it anyways.
Yeah, I love that. Justina, what do you want your legacy to be?
I think I want people to just always be curious and open-minded and not being afraid of trying new experiences.
I was going to say, how would you define health?
I think of it as a more encompassing state of being of physical, mental, and spiritual health. So just like, yeah, state of physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. And it's more of a equilibrium between all those. So they go up and down in different times of your being. But if they're, it's just, they go up and down, but in encompassing, they all work together.
I like that. There's always a weird thumb, right?
Our body is a series of interconnected systems. What is happening in one system puts pressure on another. We understand this intuitively, and yet the most powerful medical system in the world, Western medicine, continues to evaluate our health in individualized silos. We have assessments related to cardiovascular health, oncology, respirology, dermatology. We have individual silos of expertise. When we assess the body from a functional perspective in our practice, we want to understand not whether you are necessarily fine in all of these different systems, but whether or not they are functioning in an integrative manner in a way that moves you closer to optimal health. While there are lots of functional tests that we can do to be able to assess that, technology is enabling us to start to look at this thing on the basis of artificial intelligence through the aggregation of data. We do this in our practice using a tool called Living Matrix, and I want to make this assessment available to you. If you go to our new website, AnthropologyPerformanceLabs.com, on the front page, you will see an opportunity for you to opt in into your personalized functional medicine quiz. Completing this questionnaire will take approximately 40 minutes of your time, and when you're finished, we're going to prompt you to have an opportunity to sit down from someone on our medical team to review your individualized results. We are all on big missions. We are all trying to change the world. It's no longer sufficient for our health to simply be fine. For us to achieve what we want to do as badass women with a vision for how we can help the world, we need to move our health to a place of optimal. And I invite all of you the opportunity to see how close to that line you really are. Go to AnthropologyPerformanceLabs.com and do your quiz today.
I think this is a really perfect place to transition to the second portion of our interview. And I call these our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So these are questions and insights that I really think give us some perspective related to those key performance behaviors that you have with respect to your life. And we talked about that earlier, right? It's not always about how much money is in your bank account. That's not the only way to assess a journey. It's part of it, but it's not the only one. So in this case, I actually wanted to get into some of the other dynamics and factors in terms of how you live your life. And so I've got six rapid fire questions for you, if you will indulge me.
Okay, fire away.
Amazing. Justina, do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share?
Yes, it's called hanging out with my partner and my two dogs, watching Netflix with a glass of red wine.
Oh, well played. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
It's nonfiction.
What's the book?
It's actually talking about the curious mind.
Ah, I like it. I'd probably enjoy that.
Yeah, I forgot the author. I would have to double check, but it's called A Curious Mind.
Awesome. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Working out, because that's what keeps my sanity going.
I feel like it's an entrepreneurial secret weapon to get yourself into a gym. I just don't know how people run businesses and not exercise. It's beyond me.
Yeah.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I seem like I am a social butterfly, but deep inside I'm an introvert. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And for an introvert to be social and build community and all the things that you do, that is totally badass. So well done. What do you do for fun or play?
You know, I really like to just hang out outdoors. So I love hiking, even just going with my dogs or hanging out with friends that we haven't seen in a while. So maybe like organizing parties at our house and inviting people over we haven't seen in a while. Like we have this annual Christmas party, and it's a good way of connecting with people they haven't seen.
Beautiful. And last question for you, Justina. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
There are some genetic factors for sure, but ultimately I believe it comes down to you and your environment as well and how you were raised. I think it's a little bit of both. It's kind of like the nature versus nurture.
Totally. And when you've got enough of it burning inside of you to get something out into the world, you find a way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is figure outable.
It is. That's a good word. I haven't heard that word.
Justina, thank you so much for being here. I know people are going to want to learn more about Nagi and where they can get their hands on these bars. They truly are amazing. I have one in my backpack at all times. Where should we be sending them?
So it's our website, eatnagi.com. So it's like eat naked because Nagi means naked. So eatnagi.com. And we also have a special coupon for your listeners. You can save 20% of all your orders with coupon code NAGI, NAGI20. That's NAGI20. Just type it in and you'll save 20% of your first order.
Justina, that's amazing and so generous. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for being here. This has been a ton of fun.
Thank you for having me.
This is awesome. My pleasure.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.